Do you find Psalm 98? I think that was a good idea, Andrew, for us to read it together. Let's try and do that together if we can. Doesn't matter what version you have. Well, it does matter, but we can sing together. So that was on page 603 in the old Bibles. Anybody shout out the page in the new one? Same page. As loud as you can, as comfortably as you can. Let's read together. Psalm 98, at the count of three. One, two, three. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his heart have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Amen. Well, it's a good thing spring is not far. It's my favorite time of year. I don't know about you, but it's good because for me, it's a time that you see all creation suddenly come to life. All that has been hidden in hibernation suddenly comes out and we can see it. Today, we are just building on Steve's talk last week on worship. He was focusing on what worship is, and why we worship. Now, this morning, I want to just look a bit farther on from there. I'll do a slight recap for us to try and remember some of those points that Steve made, but more focusing on how we worship. So, when we think of worship and how we worship, it's a topic, as Steve said last week, that we could talk about all year round. What is worship? Worship is reverence and adoration to God. It is giving God the honor that he is due, and it is all honor. Are you okay with seeing me? Is the sun in your way? That one. Is that all right? I'm just noticing that people are moving up and down. How do we do this? Please, if somebody's able to help. I like to interact with the people as I'm speaking, so I can notice that you're not quite there. So I'm happy to move to a comfortable place. That's better. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Is that better? Wonderful. If the associate minister is happy, then we are all happy. I could see the sun in her face, and I was thinking, it's not quite there. During my preparation, I was reminded of the lead up to ordination, my preparation there, and my mind was drawn at that time. Of course, the DDO is pointing out different things, and they talk about our catechism. And I'm sure most of you will know this one. If I ask the question, what is the chief end of man? Some of you might know this. Say it confidently. Yeah?
To worship God.
Okay, so they might use slightly different words, but it is that really. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And what better way to phrase worship? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And they go on to ask then, how do we know how to do this? And the response there is even better, because it says, the scriptures guide us, they teach us, they direct us. And we've seen that in here, in in Psalm 98. It's spelling out for us how we can do that. Perfume. Perfume. What is your favorite perfume? I wonder. I know. I was recently given a CK1 for Christmas, which is, it's not cheap, but it's lovely, isn't it? But there's so many different ones. You think of perfume, it's something that's costly. It's something that's precious. In one of our readings, the other reading in John, in that story, in that narrative, Mary pours out some really costly, pricey perfume onto Jesus' feet. And the people around her and around Jesus are thinking, what a waste. But what's at the back of Mary's mind? She knows that Jesus is worthy of any cost. So she chooses her choice offering. But it's not just her pouring it there. She goes ahead to, if my hair was longer, I would demonstrate it better. She goes ahead to actually wipe his feet with her hair. She is giving of her very substance. Not just what she has, but who she is as well. Jesus is worthy of that worship. In our Eucharistic liturgy, the post-communion prayer has these words. It says, we offer our souls and bodies. Can you say it with me if you've crammed it? To be a living sacrifice. It goes on to say, send us out in the power of your spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. I didn't grow up Anglican, but my attraction to the Anglican church is the liturgy, because it's just bathed in scripture and it speaks so much there that it lends itself to everyday life. And if you're on Twitter, you could tweet this, because this sort of came to me in the pub. So these words, an everyday act of worship is living a life of total abandon and surrender to our God, who himself surrendered and abandoned himself for us. An everyday act of worship is living a life of total abandon and surrender to our God, who himself surrendered and abandoned himself for us. So the question is, what can we give him back that's due his worth? But our worship, our very selves. So I ask, what motivates us to worship? Could it be maybe because I'm on the rota, or because I have a good voice, or because I can play an instrument so well? Maybe it's all those things, but it's got to be more. It's got to be something to do with our attitude and our motivation. And some of the physical acts of worship that we often hear used will be things like bowing down to worship. Bowing, I can bow, I can go ahead to bow while kneeling. So kneeling is another act of worship. Another very common one is lifting up our hands. Can you do that with me? Can you manage to do it? If you're able, only if you're able. Fantastic, thank you. Lifting up our hands. Now, if you try to find a PowerPoint of people worshiping, many times you'll find one like that. What's the message there? So it's something to do with the attitude, with the motive. In bowing down, I am giving honor and reverence. There's something about contrition there. In lifting up my hands, there is something about surrender, worshiping with abandon, not holding back. Do you ever hold back in worship? I'll just throw that one out there. Do you ever come to worship and say, oh, people might be watching me, so I might not do that bit? Or it's easier to do it when everybody else is doing it. Does that ever happen to you? It does to me. When I walk to a new place, I'll think, I was surprised being, so I'm, you know, African in Uganda. We love music. We use the drums. We use all these things and really express ourselves in worship. But at times, I would be so frustrated as a teenager in church, in my church, and this is in Africa, not even coming out to say, oh yeah, one part of the world are more reserved than the others. This is in Uganda itself. People would be as expressive as could be outside church. But as soon as we walked into church, sometimes it was a real struggle to get people to worship with abandon. Because suddenly, we are more self-conscious there. Or is it that our attitude towards God is such that we don't think that he expects us to worship him with abandon? We ought to worship him with respect. I wonder. I won't say too much there. As I say, worship is a subject we could dwell on all year round. Now, I want to take an aspect of worship because it's so wide, and I want to focus on one of them. So in worship, you can find prayer there, but I want to draw on praise. Praise as a way of worship. When we think of praise, praising is telling God who he is and what he has done. In summary, really, praising is telling God who he is and what he has done. And we can do that in song, but we can do that in many ways. If I look at Psalm 98 here, Psalm 98 gives us so many ways of how we can praise. So we can praise, verse 4. Can you see the first word there? We can shout, and that's okay to do that. We can praise in verse 4 also with music, with a song. We can praise with musical instruments. And there are so many different ways that we can use for praising God. And let's think of this psalm. So Psalm 98 is written by King David. Okay? King David, in writing this, is saying, don't just do what I say, but do what I do. In 1 Chronicles, in one of the Old Testament books, then 1 Chronicles, we see this scene of King David dressed up in his robes and very elegant, like any royal would be, like a king would be. But in this scene, the Ark of the Covenant has come back to the children of Israel, and David is leading this procession. He's leading them, and there are people who are going ahead of him, leading in praise. So they're singing, they're shouting, they're clapping their hands, they're dancing. And David the king dances. Some of you know this story. So he starts to dance, and as he's dancing, I won't demonstrate it fully, but one by one, his robes start falling, going off one. Can you imagine that? So the robes, one layer goes off, and then the other, and then the other, and then the other, and then the other, and then the other. And his wife is watching. She's getting more and more embarrassed, by each layer that goes off. She gets more embarrassed and more until he's left with just the linen, the undergarment there. But he is dancing and praising and celebrating and shouting with abandon. So when he's writing here and telling us how to do it here, he has demonstrated it himself. But of course, we cast our minds then to Paul, later in Corinthians, who is writing and saying, as we worship, it's got to be appropriate in context. So there is wisdom as to whether this is a place to completely, or whether it's a place for you to worship with bended knee, or it's a place for you to worship while clapping. And there is freedom that we have here at St. Stephen's, is that right? We do have freedom to worship while clapping. Do we have permission to worship while clapping? I'm looking at the associate minister here because she's senior to me. Is all right? So, yes? So if we, can you try? So she said yes. Can we try that? It's not me. I have to find somebody else to point this to. Okay, so can you try? Can you try and do that? Let me just hear you clap. Okay. Very good. Do we have permission here to lift up? We do. Can we try that? It's not me, as I say. I won't ask you to do all the others. Stop there. But let me. As I said, this is a subject we could talk about all through the year. I want to just draw some examples of songs here. And show you how we can worship and use these different things at different points. So in my old Songs of Fellowship, some of you might recognize that Songs of Fellowship hymn book. One of them here says, number 14, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. You know that? And that is pointing, we telling people of what God has done, singing of his creation. There is also this one, number 10. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Forever you will be. So we are singing that. And as you start, people join in, because I might come in and I don't really know the song. But as I hear you sing it, I join in with Andy and I join in with everybody. I think, I like the words I hear there, because they're not focused on just me. They're focused on God. How about this one? We know this one. Okay, and I've chosen this one on purpose, 466. Praise my soul, the... Exactly. You should all know it, because we did it first this morning. So you, indeed, so no excuse there. And so many. But hear this one, 520. Hear this one lastly. Tell out my soul, the... You're good. I'll stop there with that one. But the point here as I finish is different songs, different things help us in our worship. Sometimes we come here and we might not feel ready to worship or able to sing. And the psalmist does something interesting. Sometimes he talks to his soul. He talks to his spirit. And that's what that song is saying, that hymn is, tell out my soul. Tell out my soul. You might not feel like it. You might not be in that place, but do it. Because God doesn't change. Things around us might change, but he remains constant.